Welcome to Be Customer Led, where we'll explore how leading experts in customer and employee experience are navigating organizations through their own journey to be customer led and the actions and behaviors employees and businesses exhibit to get there. And now, your host, Bill Stakos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Be Customer Led. I have a super special guest for us this week. Sam Bright is Chief Product and Experience Officer at Upwork. It's a company I'm sure many of you are familiar with. Sam leads a team of over 800 people globally distributed across product, design, user experience, user research, talent, customer experience, community management, new business, trust, safety. It's an incredible team, an incredible thing that Sam is building and pulling together. Sam, thanks so much for being on Be Customer Led.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, same here. I start off every show, Sam, asking guests about their journey, how they got that customer bug, and how that kind of led them into the role they are today. Can you share with our listeners your own story and obviously culminating into the role at Upwork?
Yeah, thank you. So I've had a really fortunate career journey. I'll talk about the more recent time. But one of the things that sticks with me going back many, many years is beginning my career working at a business incubator, partnering with entrepreneurs who were in the high-tech, advanced manufacturing, and life sciences space. And every morning thinking about like what are the things that they were struggling with, because we were a startup incubator dealing with startups at the same time. And we'd come in each morning, and one of my jobs was to like make popcorn for them, something very small, but like also immediate feedback. Like if you burnt it, everyone knew Sam didn't do a good job today. But like, what are the little hassles that you can take off of entrepreneurs' plates? Well, obviously that's a small token, but I still think sometimes when I'm engaging in conversations about like, what is the equivalent of making popcorn? When are we burning popcorn for our customers? And how does that translate into the experiences that we build for them, into the way that we engage with them across all of our touch points, et cetera? Over the past decade, as fast forwarding a little bit, I've been a student of two-sided marketplaces, and I had a really long run at eBay and was in multiple roles doing M&A strategy and then business development and then leading our collectibles team and business unit and experience, and then eventually multiple verticals and then leading the broader verticals team and just everything that was sold on ebay.com, and then also one of our SaaS subsidiaries for a little while. And through all those experiences, there are so many different needs for customers that emerge. As you can imagine, like customers who are purchasing bullion versus customers who are purchasing cell phone cases versus customers who are purchasing tractors have very different needs, very different experiences. One size definitely does not fit all. And so as I looked at addressing customer pain across multiple lenses, I really spent some time thinking about like, how do we deeply understand the customer, right? What really motivates them? What are they willing to pay for? What's the pain they don't even have the vocabulary yet to articulate, so that we are able to address that and delight them in those moments? That obviously touches customer experience as a team and as a function. And there are different things we experimented with in my time at eBay and since I've come to Upwork. It also just touches every function, because we all have like a role to play in making sure that our customers, who are our true bosses, are delighted in every interaction they have with our products and services. And so that was, I think, earlier in my journey. And then I joined Upwork in November 2020 to lead the product and experience team, basically overseeing everything that touches a customer. We're the world's work marketplace. We're really seeking to disrupt the future of work by connecting businesses with the independent talent they need to get work done. And so we want to be that always-on solution for companies of every size who are hiring, you know, independent talent and then also managing programs at scale. So in terms of scope, over $2.3 billion earned by our talent in 2020 across more than 10,000 skills and categories, from web development to design to customer support. And then a breadth of different customers too. Everyone from like one person startups to 30% of the Fortune 100. So where my focus has been at is sort of integrating all these different experiences, leading various teams, serving different types of customers, And really, in this role, in this remit, thinking through, like, how do we launch and lead the work marketplace? How do we scale our product experience fundamentals? And then how do we drive customer growth through delighting them across multiple product lines and innovative integrations?
That's a lot of work. What always fascinates me is, in the line of business that we're in, is sometimes people don't appreciate the amount of work that has to go into what you're doing every day and the resources it takes, not just even people, but technology, et cetera, right? And it's just really, if you're going to do it right and do it super well, like you guys are today, clearly, the commitment is across the entire firm. Your background is really interesting. I mean, one on the eBay side, clearly that helped shape a lot of your thinking. That's a great parallel to the work that you're doing at Upwork. When you think about your experience, though, and all that you've accomplished, how do you think that has given you a deeper understanding of the customer as well as the product? Because of your background, do you think that you're able to appreciate both at a different level, but also be able to connect them maybe in a different way too?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. I think that it starts with really thinking about if there's a unified understanding on what it means to actually make the customer successful. It starts with, like, how do you set intentionality for your team? And obviously that's been influenced by the various experiences that I've had over time, right? Like, I've been in prior lives an investment banker, and I've sold companies or advised on selling companies or buying companies that for whatever reason had either were delighting customers or had taken their eyes off the ball and were no longer delighting customers. And so now they're being picked up by someone else who is able to delight customers. So I think about each of the different lenses and how that influences, like, the customer feedback that we are constantly getting, and therefore how it leads to us making more holistic end-to-end decisions that span org boundaries, right? So if I think about how I translate that into my current role, a lot of it comes down to how you instill the culture of customer obsession. So for our product experience team, we really prioritize the customer above everything else. And I've learned that through all these different vantage points. So one of our product experience PECs, as we call it, principles, number one is make the customer win big. And that unifies all of our different functions and all of our different touch points. Because it's a question we can ask ourselves as we're building products. We can ask ourselves as we are having customer interactions. We can ask ourselves as we are crafting business development deals. We can ask ourselves as we're writing policies for trust and safety. Like, will the customer win big here? And there's a complexity of being a marketplace in that you have two customers. You have both clients and talent. And so how do you enable them both to win big? And if something doesn't go the way that one of them feels like it should have gone, how do you enable them to come to us to a good resolution in a way that they still feel like they won big, right? So we take a step back and we think about, like, our vision for Upwork of, like, being where the world wants to work. That's, again, very customer-centric, right? Like, we aspire people around the world to make the choice, the wants, to be here because we have to delight customers such that they are willing to give their mind share and their wallet share to us because we've earned their trust and we've delivered delight. And then work, like, even as work evolves, we are constantly racing to stay ahead and anticipate and deliver in advance of customer expectations, right? So whether it comes from my time working with startups at the Business Incubator or advising CIOs at Forrester or engaging with C-suite leaders as we were thinking about which companies would be bought or sold and how they engage with customers, or the different vantage points and functions at eBay, even as we were thinking about how to deliver and build vertical experiences, like, all of those different skill sets or experiences or interactions all are just different lenses on how do you interact with the ultimate boss, who's the customer. And so that then gives us insight and certainly plenty of skin knees and learnings to hopefully try to integrate as we're working through things at Upwork.
I love the win big mantra. I've never heard that before. And there's something about that that is a little bit more outside of even using the product, right? It's helping individuals or the hires or the workers kind of thrive in their life, right? If you win big anywhere, it's not just a work thing. It's also bleeds into your personal space as well. And I know that obviously Upwork is changing people's lives in a number of different ways. Are there core tenets that you think about that you try to apply to customer experience, or as you've gone from place to place, even has that thinking changed or evolved? I hear all the time sometimes like, hey, I've been doing this work for a long time. Here's my model. Here's how I'm going to do it. And it's worked every time and I've been successful. How do you think about that? Or do you kind of adjust and change based on the company or the end consumer?
Yeah, I think there are, I guess, a couple of thoughts. One, there are some universal tenets that I've been blessed to learn over time through great mentors, coaches, mistakes, experiences, what have you, that I try to apply across the board. But I do think the context specific applications that just vary depending on where you're working, what the dynamics with customers are, how aware they are of your product and your experience, et cetera. But I think part of the reason why we said make the customer win big is because of the fact that it constantly holds us to a higher level. And it reflects one of the tenets around really trying to ingest customer obsession. Like, how are we asking our teams, not only are we solving customer problems, but how are we going about solving those problems? And for us at Upwork, that is, of course, about how businesses are connected with independent talent to get more work done in this complex environment of remote work and hybrid workforces and economic uncertainty. But we're also asking ourselves on, like, are we using the customer experience to set the pace as an innovator in our competitive space? To an earlier point I made, how deeply are we listening to customer pain? Because sometimes customers aren't able to really articulate what they're looking for until they see it. And they're like, oh, that's what I'm looking for. And so how closely are we listening? How constructively paranoid are we about customer experiences, customer expectations always changing? I think another tenet, in addition to just customer obsession, is being willing to experiment so we can continuously seek to learn and improve, right? So customer experience is never truly done. It's a continuous journey. It's not a one-time project. It has to be embedded in how we operate within our companies. It has to be embedded in our culture. As new people come on board, like, they understand that this is sort of the way that we operate in order to be successful with each other and for our customers. And so how are we open to make adjustments and to embrace change as we learn from customer feedback, competition, unexpected opportunities? And so beyond customer obsession and constant experimentation, the third tenet is really to never underestimate customer impatience. I've rarely gone wrong there, and very rarely does the customer want something slower, or if they only understood, they'd be comfortable waiting longer. In many cases, that is just a reflection of someone not resetting the bar for them of what they'd be able to meet their needs even faster. And so I think that creates for us as customer experience professionals and leaders this ever dynamic landscape where we know that people are in a race to deliver value to customers, including our customers, faster. And if we don't keep showing up with that in mind, those customers won't be ours over time.
There's so much to unpack there. I know we would need like three more shows to be able to get into that stuff. You've seen a number of different operating models for customer experience, given your background and your expertise, Sam. Have you found one that's more effective than others? Like, I've been talking a lot about just organizational structure for success. Do you think that there are any like great models out there that you've seen? I mean, clearly you're building something really unique and great at Upwork, and we'll get into more of that. But like, what do you think is like just an optimal way to start to bring that together?
Yeah. So I think it was Peter Drucker who said that culture eats strategy for breakfast, but yet I think org structure eats culture, which then eats strategy for breakfast. And so you can kind of determine where things will go based off of the incentives that are in place for people who are acting well-intentioned but highly rationally. And a lot of that comes down to how folks are organized. And so I think bringing customer experience as close as possible to the experience so that those feedback loops are very easily in place and very, very transparent is really important. And I've seen it both within Upwork. I've also seen it in ways that in prior lives we have tried to align customer experience teams to specific strategic priorities at that moment in time that align with different customer needs. Like, I've seen that be really effective. But if you're thinking about customer experience as separate from other customer touch points, I think that raises that raises challenges that can slow organizations down in terms of like, how much translation is occurring versus not? You really want this feedback loop of like, hey, customer articulates pain. We research it. We come up with other ideas on how we can solve it. We validate it with customers. We release it into the market. They're like, well, that solves part of it, but there's more that we need. Then we continue to validate it. And then we fix it or we tweak it. And then we go back and tell customers about it. And they give us more insight. And it's this ever ongoing dialogue that is unbroken by org boundaries. And so I think that having the touch points with the customer as closely connected as possible, even if they're not in the same org, but as closely connected as possible is really important for those feedback loops to occur, because it leads to CX teams understanding the product more. It leads to product teams understanding what customers are saying to frontline team members at every given point in time. It leads to mutual empathy, to folks being able to, in some cases, have different types of career rotation opportunities, et cetera. And so it's really the intentionality that I think is important and how teams are collaborating and partnering with each other.
I couldn't agree with you more, Sam. You guys are one of the few organizations, frankly, that have brought product and customer experience together. You see a lot of different models out there, a couple of different models, but, or I should say, many are still missing that trick. Clearly, you just outlined some of the benefits of that model. What was the driver behind your vision to do that? Is it something that you saw in a past life? Is it something you were like, hey, you thought about it in the shower and it came up? Like, because that's not something that a lot of people do. But the benefits are real and they're tangible and can make a profound difference, not only from a product perspective, but even organizationally and culturally, as you just laid out.
Yeah, I think that, I can't take credit for bringing it together. I think that occurred by other decisions from Upwork leaders, but I have found very significant upsides there because I probably would have advocated for it coming together if it hadn't been. Because I've seen too many silos between customer experience and product. And so I think as an organization, we intentionally co-located them to bring the insights together. So when you have a more unified team, where VPs and product managers from our various product lines sit right alongside our design, research, and writing function, and right alongside our customer experience and trust experts who kind of own everything from like payments compliance to trust and safety to program success for new talent and clients, we can get a true 360-degree view of these customer problems we're trying to solve and create a real feedback loop. And you can even see it in things like our VOC emails, right? Because then we tweak that to say, okay, how do we include closing the loop? So, and then we reference back, hey, this is feedback the customers made beforehand or gave us beforehand. And here's something new that we released addressing that feedback, right? And so those views have been not only of utmost importance in terms of like delivering for customers, but also in terms of helping us culturally get to a place where customer centricity is paramount. Because it's really hard to be customer centric without talking to customers a lot of times. And so we've been aggressively hiring leaders, building out teams to bring them to fruition. And we also have been really, really benefited from, we have a great leader on my team, Brandon Savage, who came in and leads our customer experience and trust organization. And he had previously led product teams in the past before migrating into customer experience. And so he brings this perspective that is really helpful in kind of like educating our customer experience teams on how product teams tend to think, and also being able to communicate the customer experience needs with our product teams while sitting all within the same organization. So under his leadership, I can already see some of the benefits that are occurring from that. I expect we'll see more over time as that progresses.
Very, very cool. You also have community in your purview. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you mean by community, and then what are some of the benefits that you're seeing there by bringing that into your broader product and experience organization?
Yeah, for sure. So I think community kind of sits on a continuum. I've seen various versions of it. I'm not going to like say that we've fully gotten to where we want to go, though we've brought community into product experience, and we brought in a great leader to drive it. And in line with like the aspirations that we have. But I've seen community everything kind of function everywhere from being in a somewhat of a public relations function to, I've seen it be, which is great. And there's value associated with that, to being within marketing, which there's great. And it's, that's great. And there's value within that, to being somewhat of a customer support deflection mechanism, which that's great. And there's value within that, to being more of like an operational series of programs in which we connect with customers. And that's great. And there's value with that, like all the way to like community being fully integrated into the experience. For us personally, we're seeking to go to that latter part of the continuum. And I think in some cases, we don't view community as a contact deflection mechanism. Like we can route folks there to get their questions answered and other things, but we're really seeing that as another dimension of the dialogue. And so for us, it was important to have that separate from customer experience, and to really think about like, how can we engage our customers to be able to not only connect, but solve each other's problems, and then eventually get the best answers to various common questions that we can thread throughout the experience. So it becomes another dimension of the feedback loop. And there are already some changes that we're making under our new community leader's guidance, Fran Murphy, to upgrade our current community experience, to make it a bit more thoughtful in terms of how we announce product releases, to think about like how we thread through feedback from different community members, et cetera. But to us, it's just another part of the feedback loop. We get validation from VLC, that we get validation from our community members. We get early views if we share different tests we're running or what have you, that then help us improve before we do a Fulbright launch. And it enables us to make better decisions over time. So a lot of work, a lot of wood to chop across the board. I'm not going to pretend that we've, you know, gotten to everywhere we want to be, but this is part of the direction that we are headed. And I'm really excited for how these different viewpoints and touch points with customers will enable us to be sharper and sharper on meeting their needs.
So Sam, I mean, figuring out how to leverage community to innovate at scale is really, I mean, it's just genius. What I love about that even more is that because the individual is selected into this community, right? They want to be part of it. There is this really intentional connection and interest in making Upwork a success, mm-hmm. right? So by default, even if they, I'm just going to take an example, even if they give you a 10 out of 10 on a scale, they're still going to also be so invested that they'll say, here's the one thing mm-hmm. that would make this even better. Mm-hmm. Like if you go to 11, I'd make it an 11, but you got to change this one thing, versus someone who's like, you're doing okay, right? Like they're not going to really go that extra mile to give that feedback. So kudos to you for bringing that together. I think that's awesome. I want to talk a little bit about sort of the serving of multiple masters, so to speak, right? So for me, that really is a fascinating model, because a lot of folks out there are in B2C or B2B or in places where it's B2B to C, et cetera. But you really, outside of even investors, partners, shareholders, et cetera, you have very, very distinct individuals that you're serving. How do you kind of, what types of challenges does that create from a customer experience perspective? And how have you guys been able to, or how do you think about managing through that?
It definitely makes things a lot of fun, because you're able to draw pattern recognition from very surprising places over time. And I draw parallels to some extent to my eBay experience, where you have sellers and buyers on both sides of the platform, but at very different sizes and very different verticals and very different occasions. Some who are transacting in moments of passion, some who are transacting utility, some who are transacting to make gifts, some who are transacting in bulk, etc. And so the challenge from a customer experience perspective is to try to ascertain what the driver is of that particular customer engaging, either selling or buying, and then being able to partner with them. Well, at Upwork, there's even more complexity in some regards, in terms of you've got consumer and enterprise, and in terms of customer segments, and on the client side, and then you've got everyone from freelancers to agencies. And so again, the challenge is like, how do you ascertain where the customer pain is at, or what the driver is of someone wanting to get work done or wanting to do work along the way? And so for us, we've really given a lot of thought about, how do we enable both sides of our platform to be successful? How can we make them both win big, which is sort of like something we continue to aspire to? And so for us, that meant launching Lead in the Work Marketplace, which meant that we went from offering a single product line, which is our crown jewel talent marketplace, post and hire, to being a multiple product line company and adding, you know, new product lines like Project Catalog for like browse and buy, pre-scope upfront price projects, or Talent Scout for like more low domain, complex work, clients and talent, clients connect with better talent, or our enterprise suite that speaks to the two specific use cases there, or payroll, bring your own talent, or direct contracts. Like there are all these different product lines that we realized had different resonance for the variety of customer segments that we had and enabled us to say, okay, well, this is how we're going to not take a one-size-fits-all approach, but really say, okay, these are the pain points that we can leverage the scale of our marketplace to solve in a very dedicated product offering. And so each time as we are dreaming of developing, deploying a new product, we kind of have to go through that whole feedback loop on both the client experience for the independent talent experience side and really try to balance or optimize that our feedback there accordingly. So just to give you an example, we recently announced our virtual talent bench, which is sort of this set of features that makes relationship building central to the customer experience on Upwork. So clients can discover talent, they can organize talent, they can put them in lists. There's also pre-curated lists of folks that they've engaged with, et cetera. So it's really easy for them to re-engage with them again. And then for talent, of course, any time that they've worked with clients before, and it's easy for those clients to go and rediscover them again, like that just increases, you know, the likelihood that they're going to get hired and increases the predictability of their earnings. So that came from a ton of research that we did and testing that we had done on like, how do we solve both of these customers? So we built this feature to try to span both of those needs and delight both masters, if you
will. Yeah. So look, Upwork is an incredibly important company when you think about future of work. I know your company's played an incredible role through the pandemic, even in helping people find new opportunities. My perspective, at least, is that will continue to play a key in how work is even reshaping, being redefined. How do you think customer experience needs to shift and maybe redefine as we think about future work? Because like, there's so much conversation out there, right? CX is dead or it's dying, blah, blah, blah. I'm curious to hear your perspective on how you think the discipline or the practice might evolve. Certainly, you guys are doing amazing things, bringing product, et cetera, together, very different than others. What do you see the evolution happening?
Yeah, I definitely don't think that CX is dead. I don't see that happening. I do see that CX as a discipline is constantly evolving, just as other functions are, as customer needs change. And so, as we've discussed a bit here, I can see tighter coupling with other functions, whether that is product or even some facets of engineering and marketing over time, really increasing sort of the influence and insights that are generated from talking to customers each day into other parts of the organization, which I think is really important. And then I think there's always going to be this dynamic of like, how do you connect CX teams with the specific customer segments that they're seeking to serve? And so I think that'll be an ongoing dialogue as well, as to like, how do we meet those needs? How do we arm our CX team members with insight into, you know, the different activities that we have to meet recurring areas of pain? So whether that is tooling or that structure or that's more cross-pollination across functions, I think there's going to be a lot of experimentation on that. And I think that'll be really good in terms of really driving customer centricity into the core of organizations.
Cool. Sam, this has been a really interesting conversation and thanks so much for your time. I ask all guests, the last question is, where do you get your inspiration from? What fills your cup?
Yes. Well, in addition to my family, who are an incredible source of inspiration for me, I really find inspiration in experimentation and curiosity and approaching CX and really product in general through an entrepreneurial mindset. But I think where I'm going to go, I always go back to the customer. And so I touched on a little bit our Voice of the Customer program. It's one of my favorite emails to read, where we uncover emerging themes and we seek to understand where customers are seeing friction and then how to build solutions that meet their needs. Similarly, every all hands we have as a product experience team, we start with a customer call. And then I also each week, try to meet with a customer, at least one customer, either a client or a freelancer. I take copious notes, and then I add my notes to a Slack channel for all 830 of us to discuss asynchronously. Like, what are customers telling us? And that often will give us insights into how we can make our features better and to, like, what are the different things that are resonant. And so it enables us to serve them better as well. A lot of great ideas and inspiration comes out of that. So I'm blessed to have great mentors and friends and other things. But in terms of, like, what guides my day-to-day work, it's really like, when can I have the touch points with the customer? We're never smarter than they are. We always learn something as we engage, and that tends to energize me and hopefully my team.
Amen to that. Dan, this has been a great show. Thanks again for your time and joining us on Be Customer Led. It's been a pleasure to have you on and to learn from you today.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful to chat with you, and a huge fan of the show, what you all do and tackling these topics every single week.
That's super kind of you. All right, everybody. Sam Bright, an incredible conversation. If you're not on Upwork today, you should check out the site. I've been on there in the past. It's amazing just from a UI and platform perspective, but also the way that it does bring people together. We'll see you next week, everyone. We're out. Talk to you soon,
Thanks
everyone.
Thanks for listening to Be Customer Led with Bill Stakos. We are grateful to our audience for the gift of their time. Be sure to visit us at becustomerled.com for more episodes. Leave us feedback on how we're doing or tell us what you want to hear more about. Until next time, we're out.